Hey, good morning and welcome to Online Church. Man, I'm so excited to have the opportunity to spend some time with you guys this morning and encourage you from God's Word. You know, last week, Pastor Jeff shared our theme for the year, Run in 2021. And I think it's safe to say that we were all happy to see the year 2020 come to a close. I think it's also safe to say that most people have a sense of expectation for the new year. Will there be challenges in 2021? Absolutely, which is why it's even that much more important that we go into the new year with a spirit of faith. You know, one of the scriptures that Pastor Jeff shared last week in his message was 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, and that's going to be our primary text for this morning. So if you're ready, get your Bibles, and let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. It says this, it says, "Do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body into submission. I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." You know, the Apostle Paul is drawing an analogy between running a race and living our lives. And in these verses, most likely, Paul was talking about the Isthmian Games, which happen every 2 years in the city of Corinth. And the prize for these games was a coveted crown made of fir branches. And Paul makes the point that this prize, this crown made of fir branches, is only temporary, but followers of Christ are promised an eternal reward if we run the race of our lives in the right way. Now, you might be saying, wait a minute, are you saying that there will be rewards given out in heaven based upon what I do here on earth? And the answer is yes. That's exactly what I'm saying. The Bible actually talks about two types of judgment. The first judgment is called the Great White Throne Judgment, and it's described in Revelation chapter 20. Pastor Beth has taught on this many times before, but for those of y'all who are not familiar with that judgment, I'll give you the quick cliff notes. You see, the Great White Throne Judgment will be the time where every person who has ever lived on the planet Earth will stand before the Lord, and they have to give an account for their life as to whether or not they've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It's the time when all the people whose names are not written down in what Revelation 20 describes as the Lamb's Book of Life are cast into the lake of fire. Following that judgment, there is a second judgment for all those who have accepted Christ. It's known as the judgment seat of Christ, and it's referred to in 1 Corinthians 3 and 2 Corinthians 5. Now, this judgment is a rewards ceremony. It's the time when people who have honored God with their lives, whose life have borne spiritual fruit, are rewarded. So, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul tells us that since we are in a race, to be sure to run our race in a way so that we win. You see, each of us have a different race to run. We have different assignments from the Lord, things that God wants to see accomplished in our lives. And the question is, how can we run the race that God has for us in a way so that we win? Well, in order to run to win, it will require three things that I want to share with you today. It's what I'm calling the three E's: effort, evaluation, and endurance. Let's take a look at that first E, effort. If you look back to what the Apostle Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 9:25, you'll see that he says that everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. You know, in business, in school, in athletics, you name it, those who succeed are those who have exerted effort, those who discipline themselves to do whatever was necessary to be successful. And the same is true with our spiritual lives. Remember Rocky? I know it's an old movie, But can't you just hear the music? You hear that music and images of Rocky doing sit-ups and push-ups and hitting the punching bag. And most importantly, you know, running up the steps of that library. All of those images flood your mind. You see, Rocky knew what it took to be a success. He knew that it would require effort. Rocky trained hard, and training is hard work. It takes sweat. It takes determination to do what you know you need to do to be a success, and it takes effort. You know, I love it when I hear testimonies of people who've been supernaturally delivered of alcohol addiction or drugs or gambling, but do you know what? That's not the norm. The normal way to defeat habits is by breaking those habits with God's help, one decision at a time, one moment at a time, by choosing to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit every single day. If we run in such a way as to win the prize that God has for us, it will require effort. Notice what Paul says in verse 27, back in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, I beat my body and I make it my slave. How many of y'all know that the flesh can talk loud? I don't know too many people that are all that excited when their alarm clock goes off at 5 a.m. so that they can go to the gym and work out before work. You know, to do that, it requires discipline. It requires some effort. You have to bring your body into submission. So if we're going to run in 2021, we have to ask ourselves, where is some effort required? What spiritual disciplines do we need to implement in our life in order to run our race so that we win? It's different for each of us. I don't know. Is it implementing a daily quiet time for prayer and worshiping the Lord? Is it establishing a routine so that you're consistently spending time in the Word? Or is it committing to be a person who does what the Bible says to do, who encourages others, who build others up with the words that they speak? Here's the deal. It is different for all of us, but it requires hard work. It takes effort, and no one can do these things for you. Paul said that he beat his body and he forced it into submission so that he would not be disqualified for the prize. So the question that we have to answer is this: how much effort are we willing to put into our own spiritual development as a follower of Christ in order to run to win? The second E that we need to do if we're going to run to win in 2021 is we have to evaluate. You know, one of our family's favorite TV shows is The Amazing Race. And in The Amazing Race, there are teams of two that literally race around the world, doing all kinds of crazy challenges over the course of 30 days. And these teams of two each carry a backpack. And in those backpacks is everything that they're going to need for the race and for the next 30 days. But when it gets down to the final leg of the race, and there's just three teams racing for a shot at $1 million, they all do something very strategic. They all leave their backpacks behind. Why? It's obvious, because they all know that the extra weight that they're carrying in those backpacks might slow them down, which would prevent them from winning the race. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, there's another run scripture that talks about leaving things behind that slow us down. Hebrews 12, 1 says this. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Paul encourages here in this verse to throw off the weights that slow us down. Now, it's important to realize that weights aren't necessarily sins. Because if you look at that verse carefully, you'll notice that Paul is referring to two separate things. He references weights and he references sins. He says, let us throw off the weights and the sin that so easily slow us down. So there are weights and there are sins. What's the difference? Well, Weights are simply things in life that distract us. They're things that slow us down, that keep us from running our race. Sometimes we're carrying weights and we don't even know it. Sometimes those weights might even be things that we enjoy. But if they are keeping us from fulfilling our God-given purpose and destiny, we have to throw them off. Now, sins are a little more clear-cut. If we read our Bibles, we're able to get a pretty good understanding of exactly what God considers sin. But in order to throw off the weights and the sins in our life, we have to spend some time evaluating our life. We may need to take time to look at our life and identify those areas where we need to get in shape. You know, just like we look in the mirror and we see our physical bodies and we notice areas that need to, you know, need a little attention, need a little work, the same is true for us in our spiritual lives. We have to evaluate our spiritual lives in the areas where there are weights and sins. We have to ask ourselves the question, what's tripping me up? What's slowing me down? What's distracting me? What's entangling me? What's causing me to lose my focus? And after we've identified these things through prayerful evaluation, we have to throw them off. We have to get rid of them. You might say, but that's hard. Yeah, it is hard. But here's the good news. If we're believers of the Bible, if we're people of the book, if we believe that God's word is true, then there are scriptures that we can stand on that will help us be successful. Scriptures like 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says, there is no temptation. No temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Verses like Philippians 4:13, which say, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. You see, we have a decision to make. Are we going to believe God's word as we evaluate our lives? And are we going to act on it? In the year 1519, the Spanish explorer Cortez landed on the shores of eastern Mexico, the New World, with a total of 600 men and less than 20 horses. He was tasked with establishing a colony for Spain. Shortly after arrival, however, Cortez did something very interesting. He issued an order to burn the ships. Fearing his men might be tempted to go back to the life they once knew, he acted and ordered that the only way back to the life those guys once knew be permanently destroyed. Maybe that's what some of us need to do. Maybe we need to evaluate our lives and identify the weights and the sins that so easily trip us up. Maybe we need to look at the relationships in our lives that are toxic and drag us down. And once we've identified those, maybe we need to take action and burn the ships. The third E we need to do if we're going to run to win in 2021 is we must endure. Now, I realize you might say, wait a minute. I can accept the fact that if I'm going to run to win in 2021, that it's going to require some effort. And I'm even okay with the fact that I might have to evaluate my life. But when it comes to endurance, you might be saying, come on, cut me some slack. 2020 was all about endurance. Let me share a different perspective as it relates to endurance with you that I think you'll find encouraging. Here's the definition of endurance. It's the ability or strength to continue or last, especially despite fatigue, stress, or other adverse conditions. Some related words for endurance are perseverance, strength, courage, fortitude, stamina. But if you look up the word endurance in the dictionary, you'll notice that there is a little N beside it. Now, that N indicates that it is a noun. A verb is an action verb. It's a word that describes action. But a noun is a person, place, or thing. And if endurance is a thing, then it's a thing we can have. How do we get it? Here's the encouraging part, that if we're a Christian, if we're a believer in Christ, it's already ours because God has given it to us. Take a look at Romans 15:5. It says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had." I love that because it says, "May God who gives endurance." He gives endurance. And in the Bible, enduring means more than simply putting up with trials or adversity. Endurance involves our mind, our heart. In some ways, endurance is an attitude. A person who endures manifests courage, steadfastness, and patience. Endurance is the spirit which can bear things, not simply with resignation, not simply just getting through it or surviving it, but with hope. It is the virtue which can transform the hardest trial into the greatest victory, because beyond the temporary trial, it sees the eternal prize. You know, God knows our mental, our physical, our emotional limits, and He'll never allow a situation in our life beyond what we can endure. In fact, God doesn't want to see us striving or trying to run this race in our own power and our own strength, which is why He gave us endurance, the noun, in the first place. We don't have to run this race of life in our own power, in our own strength, in our own might, in our own ability, because if we do, we will only get tired. And that was never the goal. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, out of the Message. It asks these questions. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? And then it goes on to give the answer. It says, "Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." You see, the race that God has for each of us isn't a solo sport. We have a teammate that we're supposed to work in tandem with. And when we do, there are unforced rhythms of grace that we can tap into on a daily basis to help us run our race so that we can win. Another verse of Scripture that tells us how we can tap into and exercise endurance is in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Now, Hebrews 12:1 is the Scripture where we were told to throw off the weights and the sins that so easily entangle us, that slow us down, that trip us up. But Hebrews 12:2 goes on to say this. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." You see, if we're going to run to win, we have to fix our eyes on where we want to end up. The best-selling book, 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, written by Stephen Covey, says this, that highly successful people begin with the end in mind. And to run with the end in mind, with our eyes on the prize, it will require effort, it will require evaluation, and it will require endurance. As I wrap up our time together, I want to share one last story with you. It was 2006, the Winter Olympics, which were being hosted in Torino. And one of the more memorable moments of those games came in the gold medal race of a brand new event called the Snowboard Cross. Now, the Snowboard Cross is like a motocross event with multiple racers all racing at the same time over a treacherous course filled full of obstacles. but they're doing it on snowboards. And in the gold medal race, American Lindsay Jacobellis started out with three other racers. By the midpoint of the race, Jacobellis was alone, far in front. You see, she had survived a crash that had taken out two of the four racers and really slowed down the third. And as she approached the finish line, as she reached the second to the last jump, she was so far out in front of the others that the second racer couldn't even be seen. And she did something that she'll regret for the rest of her life. She decided to do a little showboating. And in midair, on that next to the last jump, she grabbed her snowboard and she did a squiggle. Unfortunately, this little act of showmanship caused her to lose her balance. And upon landing, she fell. And as she struggled to get up, the second place racer passed her to claim the gold medal. Jacobellis later gave this simple explanation for her behavior. She said that, "I was caught up in the moment." That's the problem, isn't it? When we get caught up in the moment, we quit focusing on the race that God has for us. When we quit focusing on the rewards that will last for eternity, we surrender the prize and we settle for second place. Now, I know none of us want that. I believe in our heart of hearts, we all want to run the race that the Lord has for us with a single purpose in mind, pleasing the Lord and obtaining the prize that he has for us. So I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to run to win in 2021. It will require effort. It'll take evaluation. It will require endurance. But with God, all things are possible. Now, here's the deal. I realize that there's a good chance that there might be individuals watching today who didn't even know they had a race to run. You might be watching today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's the starting point. Just like a track athlete begins the race in the starting blocks, our race begins by asking Jesus into our lives to be our personal Lord and Savior. If you've never prayed that prayer, I want to give you the opportunity to do that today. The Bible tells us this in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. It says, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." So if that's you and you've never prayed that prayer, then I want to give you the opportunity to do so with me today. Just simply repeat these words. Say, "God, I believe that Jesus died on a cross for my sin, and today I surrender to you. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. Thank you for saving me now. In Jesus' name, amen."